I'm so thankful tonight that God is God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I've really appreciated everything that has been preached here today. I've needed all of it, every bit of it. The doctrine our brother preached before, if you will recognize that God is God, this truth will destroy self-image. I'm going to, brother. Yeah. Have you ever said to someone, now preach this doctrine, but don't let them know what you mean? I believe the best advice is not what I'll give you, or not what someone gives me, but what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Ephesians chapter 1, there in verse 1, I'm going to read the first 6 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I want us to take a thought tonight from verse 3. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want to preach on the subject of spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Now I know, and I think you're aware, that little do we think of spiritual blessings. Now we do. I'm inclined to believe that you're not much different than I am many times, and many times we think about temporal blessings. Now God gives them too. But if you'll notice, there's a tremendous difference between temporal blessings and spiritual blessings. You know how long temporal blessings are for? They're temporary. That's what they are. They're only for a time. And they only satisfy the flesh. That's temporal blessings. Now, I praise God and I thank God for a good home, good house to live in, good automobile to drive, good clothes to wear, plenty to eat. I thank God for all of these things. And I believe that He is noticing when we thank Him for these things. Because I believe and I know that you know that God gives us these things. And they come from Him. But they're only for a time. But that's not the way we always look at them. And I tell you what it does to me and what it does to you. When we don't have the right perspective concerning temporal blessings, It will rob us from seeing the spiritual blessings that God has for us. What are you concerned about the most? Everybody here would have something different, but many times I find myself concerned many times and thinking about only what I'm going to do in this life. And I forget that this is not my home. You know, you can have what you call all kinds of security. And they can fire you from your job tomorrow. And you lose it every bit. But I believe that as God's people, we have spiritual blessings that are not temporal. They're not temporary, but they're eternal. And brother, they didn't begin in time. And they ain't going to end in time. I believe when Paul is writing here, now there's three aspects of my message, but I'm only going to try to preach one of them. I said try. Because spiritual blessings come from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're all right here in Ephesians 1. But I'm going to do my best by the grace of God to refrain and restrain myself to what He wants me to give tonight. If you'll notice here in verse 3, praise immediately begins. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this verse real close. I'm sure that you all are aware of this. And you know it. Notice this verse says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a conjunction. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We often think about Him being the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But He's the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. This ain't no new doctrine. Don't think it's something I've come up with. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, the first person of the Trinity, is the God of Christ. It was God that chose Christ and appointed Him to be the mediator. God the Father. It was God that made a covenant with Him. That made an agreement. Brother, that agreement's one that will not be broken. It's one that will be kept. It is an agreement. We call it the covenant of grace that was made between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. They made it back in eternity, or in eternity. It was God, the God of Jesus Christ, that formed and prepared a human nature for Him. It was the God of the Lord Jesus Christ that anointed Him with the Holy Ghost above measure. The Word of God speaks vividly of this. It was Christ as a man that prayed to God. The God of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ as man believed and he hoped and he trusted in Him and he carefully obeyed Him. Because as man He was His God. He was. But then, God is the Father of Jesus Christ. Now, not by creation, as angels or as Adam, nor by adoption as the saints of God, but by natural generation. God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. His own proper Son. He's of the same nature, the same perfection with Him, and He's equal to Him. So we see this great truth that the Apostle Paul is giving to us. And then this brings us down, and of course, the subject here, it says, who, referring back to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now God is the author and God is the giver of all blessings. I tell you who they're for. They're for the saints. That's who they're for. That's who they're designed for. That's who receives them. These blessings, these spiritual blessings. Now, every creature of God receives blessings from Him. There isn't a creature under heaven that God doesn't bless. And there isn't blessings received from it, but not spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings are for all who belong to the election of grace. They belong to saints, both Jews and Gentiles. So all spiritual blessings are designed and they're provided for us. And they're provided by a flesh, Holy God. Now there's, as I said, three aspects of this message, but I only want to deal with one of them. And that is blessings from the Father. Now there is, and you'll see it, there's blessings and you know it, there's blessings from the Son. And there's blessings from the Holy Spirit. But it all begins with blessings from the Father. And the foundation of the whole thing, everything that we believe, begins with God the Father. And everything that we see in the Word of God and believe and practice, this is where it comes from. It comes from God. Now the first blessing that we receive from God is in verse 4. And here it is. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The first spiritual blessing that we receive from the Father is He hath chosen us. And I tell you, I thank the Lord for this. Thank God. Now, I know why He chose me, don't you? Do you? I'll tell you later. I'm getting ahead of myself. I know why He chose me. We, in our pious pride, we, in our ignorance of the Scripture, many times, you know, we say, and I know what people mean when they say, I don't know why the Lord chose me. Well, the Bible tells you, but I'm getting ahead of myself. We know I know why He chose me. I found that out. I mean, the Lord showed that to me. Now, what we want to understand is, He chose us. I don't have any problem at all with recognizing who did the choosing. Christ didn't do the choosing. The Holy Spirit didn't do the choosing. God did the choosing. He chose us. And this choice here cannot be understood as a national one. It cannot. God did have a chosen people who I believe is the wife of God. Is the wife of God. Israel. But this choice cannot be understood as a national one.
The choice of person here were not the office either. What it was to unto salvation. It intends an eternal election of particular persons to everlasting salvation. That's what He chose us to. This is the first blessing of grace. And brother, it's the foundation upon which all of the rest that we believe stands on. It is the foundation. No wonder, what shall the righteous do if the foundation is be destroyed? You destroy this foundation and you ain't got no God. But this is the foundation of everything that's been preached here today. And everything that'll be preached here from now on till the Lord comes. This is the whole foundation of it. The author of this choice is God, God the Father. It is according to His foreknowledge. It is an act of His grace. This act is entirely sovereign. People say, when the Lord saves someone, said, I like what this brother from the island said. I mean, I like everything he said, but one thing particularly stuck with me, he said, first thing we teach them after being saved is sovereignty of God. Now, how you teach all that if you don't tell him what you mean? How you tell him that if you don't tell him God is or God's sovereign? Now, y'all tell me. I mean, I don't know. I don't, but I'm not going to try it. Paul said, preach the word. And so we see, I believe, before somebody else gets a hold of them and starts monkeying with them, teaching the truth. Tell you what, you let the Lord save someone by His marvelous grace right here in this congregation, and as this pastor begins, first of all, to teach them the sovereignty of God, they'll grin from ear to ear. You let someone be saved and somebody else start monkeying with them. And you all know what happens. And what takes place. Now, this choice or this choosing us, this is the first spiritual blessing that comes from God. The object of it is us. It's not angels. God didn't choose angels. If an angel sins, they're cast dead. There's no hope for them. The reason for it is God didn't choose any angels unto salvation. Now He has angels, and He uses angels, the cherubims and the seraphim, and all of them, He used them for His glory, for His honor, and for His purpose. But He didn't choose a one unto salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't go across Calvary and die for angels either. So the object of this choosing is not angels, but the object of this choosing is men. And here's the truth that, brother, God brings us to grips with. God did not choose us in ourselves. He did not choose us in ourselves. This choice that God made was in Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says. I preached this message Sunday night to my church and the church that I pastor, and there was a Southern Baptist lady there, one of my faithful members, and she wrote all this down and came out and said, you know, I've never heard anything like that before. And she said, I'm going to take that back over there. I said, preach it. And I said, oh, what about taking on this woman to preach? I said, I don't believe women speak out in assembly and preach, you know. But I said, take it back over that, will you? And you know, and she'll do it. Because when I have prayer requests, I say, do any of you men have any prayer requests? But if I don't say that, she'll jump up and have one. Now, she's not a member of our church. You're right, here. But I thought about this. She said, Brother, I've never heard this before. I've got it all written down, and I'm going to take it back over to my church. Woo! But you know, she sat right there and wrote it down. Well, I didn't preach nothing but what said. And she said, well, I expect you preach the Bible. That's what you better preach. So God did not choose us in ourselves. This choice is made in Christ. The persons chosen are in Him. Brother, this refers not to their openly being in Him at conversion as believers, but to their secret being in Him before time. In the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us in Christ by grace. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice in this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and there in verse 26. In verse 29. I never, by the grace of God, I try not to say anything about how much I know or how little I know. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I have to constantly remember that. And if God gives me the opportunity to talk to lawyers, I just send talk to a lawyer or a doctor as anybody else. Because of what he says right here. Listen to this. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There's a lot of people in the world that are a lot wiser than I am. I have people that attend the church that I pastor a lot wiser than I am. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Now what's the purpose? That no flesh should glory in His presence. And what is the purpose of God choosing us, not in ourselves, but in Christ? That no flesh should glory in His presence. You can't say, look here, God chose me and God didn't choose you. Look away! You can't say that. Choosing was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And time again, we see through the Word of God. But this is not all of the spiritual blessings we have here in Ephesians chapter 1. The first one is, and I don't have time to go into the rest of that verse 4, but I just want you to see, it says, He hath chosen us in Him. That's the thought. The second spiritual blessing is given to us in verse 5. That the Father hath bestowed upon us, having predestinated us on the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Here's this good biblical word of predestination. It's right here. And predestination has a far greater outreach than is used in this verse. This ain't all that. But it is in the context of this verse. But here, seemingly it is the same with election. The reason for it, it's concerned with the same persons. Every spiritual blessing that the Father bestows upon us is always upon us. It's the same us. You won't find anything else but us in these verses. It's the same us. It has regard to special blessings. This word predestination here does. And the special blessing that it has regard to is that the elect are appointed to adoption.
That is the special blessing. Brother, the reason that you're a son of God is because the Father not only chose you, but because the Father adopted you. That's the reason you are a son of God. Adoption is a grace, which is an act of the Father's love. I missed this on the choosing. You know, God doesn't choose like we choose. I can put 5 apples down here and tell you to choose one. And I'll tell you what I'll look for. First of all, I'll look for the biggest one. And I'll look for one that all shined up. And I'll even look to see it don't have no wormholes in it. Now that's the way you choose. And you do it every time you go to the market. God don't choose that way. Everyone He chooses has got wormholes. And they're all rotten. Everyone's rotten. Every one of them. And that's why I'm so thankful that God is God. And I'm so thankful that God chose me. But if that's not enough, then God adopted me. Now God don't adopt like you adopt. If you go out to adopt, you say, would you give me a rundown of the background? The pedigree? Not that dog, good. But I mean, you know, the genealogy, I got dogs on my mind. The genealogy of this child, of where they came from, how old are they? Have their parents ever been in any kind of trouble, any kind of heredity disease? God doesn't choose our, and He doesn't adopt that way. This adoption is a grace, which is an act of the Father's love. It's an act that is provided by Him. It's a blessing that's secured in the covenant of grace. Not only provided in the covenant of grace, but it's secured in the covenant of grace. And this adoption is a person's true inheritance to which they have no legal right. None whatsoever. I can't lay any, I have no right to lay any claims on God. I had none. But God chose me and God adopted me and it didn't cost Him $3,000. This adoption is eternally free. And what you have to remember is, why do you adopt a child? You say, we need children. There ain't no need on the adopter's part here. No need on God's part here. There is no worth on the part of the adopted. Both these graces of adoption and inheritance, they come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, we have everything that Christ has. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ is ours. It belongs to us. Because God chose us. And God adopted us. Now, why would an all-wise, all-knowing God choose a bunch of rotten apples? Why would an all-wise, all-knowing God adopt a group of men, depraved men from the human race? It pleased Him. That's it. It pleased Him. Why do you do so many things you do? You know, you make all kinds of excuses. If there's something that you know that you want to do, you do it because it pleases you. And brother, I believe that we see here, according to the good pleasure, look what He said, having predestinated us on the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Notice it, to Himself.
to himself.
Notice, according to the good pleasure of his will. God wanted to.
And he did.
Nobody stayed his hand either.
And nobody can say to him, why'd you do this? Or why'd you do that? Oh man, who art thou that replies against God?
I almost sometimes melt down what people say. I melt down when I hear people make some statements. The will of God is the rule of all of his actions. God willed it.
It pleased him. It is also the rule of all of his acts of grace and goodness. Everything that God does, he does it according to his will.
Therefore, the moving cause of predestinating grace is the good will and the good pleasure of God. We don't have no merit. There's no merit on our part. The Lord could cause the rocks to have done the same thing we do.
He could have caused Balaam's axe
to speak, and he did.
But it pleased him to choose you and to choose me. To please him to adopt you and to adopt me.
And that's the reason I'm so glad that God is God. But now, that's not all. It's just three things. The third thing is, in verse 6. Now look at this. The praise of the glory of his grace. I love good singing. But it better be about grace. I tell you this, and I need to get my foot out of my mouth and preach. Not only should we preach truths in our church, we ought to sing truths.
Amen.
That's enough said on that. And I'm not no reflecting on anybody here or anything. I'm not saying that. But notice, to the praise of the glory of his grace, and here's the third spiritual blessing of the Father. For in he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He chose us in Christ.
He adopted us in Christ. And then he made us accepted in Christ.
The beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it is. And notice, he hath made us. Why'd he do this? Please.
He wanted to, so that it would be to the praise of the glory of his grace.
So you want, when you, when the Lord brings you, as he brought me and all of the others here that believe this great and glorious truth, when he brings us to see these spiritual blessings from the Father, it eliminates I. It causes us to see God is God.
And he causes us to praise God.
No wonder we can sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blood, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears released. How precious did the Lord appear the hour I first believed." You can go on through that song. There's a lot of verses to it. God had no need of sons. He had the only begotten Son. You know what he said about him? In whom I well pleased. But in God, by God's grace, he chose some peoples, and he adopted some peoples, and then he made them accepted in his Son for the praise of the glory of his grace. He's going to bring many sons into glory. Those that he adopted had no worth. And even this was before the world began, too.
before the foundation of the world.
Now here is where the glory of the grace of God appears. I believe the glory of God is the supreme end of all He does. Everything God does, whether it's with Pharaoh, whether it's with you, or whether it's with me, or whoever it is, the supreme end is the glory of God.
Have you tell those Israelites about the Egyptians? How do you deal with them so that they might know that I am God?
The supreme end of all He does, the glory of His grace, the manifested glory. Now this praise does come to Him, and I believe it comes when we ascribe our adoption to the free grace of God.
Now how many people is there they won't give God praise? Are they praising Him? That's pretty simple, isn't it?
How many wishy-washy Baptist preachers sat in the pulpit today and won't preach grace?
Say, you can't preach that in my church. Let me. And I don't mean that sarcastically, and I don't mean that out of foolish pride. I don't mean it that way. And I know that you need to preach in love.
I know you must feed the sheep. I know all of those things.
But we've used those excuses too long. In churches. Fellow says, well, you can't preach at my church. I'd like to. How long? I've only been there 25 years.
When are you going to ever do it? And I believe the praise of the glory of His grace comes when we admire it.
When we admire what God's done for us. We need to recognize it and to admire it.
I believe it comes when we're thankful for it. I believe it comes when we walk worthy of the relation that we have with Him.
I believe when we walk worthy of this relation, I believe what we're doing, we're to the praise of the glory of His grace. You know how I thought? You know, we don't have anything to offer. We're not worth anything. We're all a bunch of rotten apples. Didn't have any. Our genealogy, you know where who our genealogy is through, don't you? Romans 5:12 talks about that. You know who we're all descendants of, don't you? But you notice, God chose us and then God adopted us, and then He also had, we couldn't choose, we couldn't adopt, and then He had to make us accepted.
We weren't even acceptable after He chose us and after He adopted us. We weren't even acceptable!
That's what it says. And that's the order of sin. He chose us, and He adopted us, and then He made us acceptable. Boy, that's a whole other thing there. Yes, sir. I said I'm going to try to the grace of God to refrain as much as I can. Now, our acceptance, Christ is the beloved of the saints, and our acceptance is in Jesus Christ. And He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Founded in the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God looks upon us as considered in Christ. The very act of His acceptance of us is by the grace of God.
And it's by the free favor of God. And I'll tell you what might happen. Hugo might take away your camp. An earthquake might take away your house. And I'm just saying because Hugo went by there and the earthquake came to y'all's area. But a storm may come tonight and destroy where we live. It may take our automobile. But I tell you, what you can do by the grace of God, if the God spares your life, you can somehow or other get you another automobile and you can get you another house.
And they are but their only temple. But I tell you what, they ain't nobody that can take away these spiritual blessings from you that God told you, that God adopted you, and that God made you acceptable in the beloved. And brother, these blessings from God are eternal blessings. God did it in eternity. Christ came in time. And in time, these blessings become real to us. The Lord saved me when I was 15 years old in Unity Baptist Church, Richmond, Kentucky. Called me to preach when I was 16. I had no idea that God had chosen me. I didn't have any idea that I was adopted. Didn't have any idea that I'd been made acceptable in the blood. Only thing I knew that I was a lost sinner. And I knew there was a Savior. And that's all you have to know. But how thankful I am tonight that I know now that there's spiritual blessings that God provided for me. And they're mine! And nobody can take them away! And they're eternal! Started in eternity, and it'll be all consummated in eternity too. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. But the other two aspects of this message that I'd really like to preach is the blessings from the Son and the blessings from the Holy Spirit. And every one of them are spiritual. And they're all right here in Ephesians chapter 1. I pray tonight that God would impress upon our hearts and our minds to be thankful and to praise Him and to walk worthy of the relationship. I tell you, the Father will rejoice, and it'll be to His honor and to His glory and to His praise.